You're listening to Nick's Knacks on KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny. Nick is the executive director of the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and the 2020 Greeley Area Chamber Ambassador of the Year. Nick's Knacks also touches on local and global issues through Nick's perspective, offering unique insights into the world's happenings. Prepare to learn something new in this thought-provoking and entertaining show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Nick's Knacks on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. I am your host, Nick Kenny, and we are in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios in downtown Greeley, and I have some awesome gentlemen here in studio today, Mr. Brad Inholson and Matt Estrin, and we are drinking some Gentleman's Jack to kick off the show. A couple of reviews today on some bourbons and some whiskeys, and just going to just go wild. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Brad, your first time in?
First time. I'm actually kind of excited. I'm nervous because I don't know what you're going to talk about today. So everything is...
Neither does Nick.
That's very, very true. Well, let's just dive right in. Brad, introduce yourself. What do you do in the community?
I am a real estate agent here in town. I primarily specialize in Weld County. A lot of first-time home buyers, do a lot of selling. Really, anything that you can think of residential-wise. I don't do any commercial business, but anything with a home.
How long have you been in the industry?
It will be 9 years this year. Kind of crazy to think about that, actually.
9 years? You were just a little budding college graduate?
Mm-hmm. Right out of school. I graduated from college and then 2 days later started selling real estate.
Was it real estate you were allowed to sell, or did you just go for it?
Signs in houses.
Yeah, I just started putting stuff in front of people's houses. Like, you want to sell, right? Absolutely. No, I did a lot of open houses for agents and stuff like that when open houses were a thing. They're not really a thing anymore.
No, they're not.
Not as much.
So the market's been nuts. We were talking at lunch today, and I mean, my jaw is dropping on what people are paying above asking price to get a home. I was so lucky to get in my house when I did last June. I think I saw it in April and moved in June. And I would not be able to buy a house now with $10,000, $15,000 over asking price. So what's
tough?
It's a hot market, but yep. That's not really a good thing, is it?
Well, I think it's the sellers definitely think it's a good thing for them. And I think you have to be a little bit more creative with how you're putting your offers in and making sure that you're putting your best foot forward. And the hard part really is that you don't have any time to think about it. You don't have the time to go home and sleep on it and say, oh, is this really the house I want? You're really going and saying, okay, put the offer in. Highest is what I can do. Here's what my best offer is, and hope and pray and make sure you've got good people on your team to hopefully make it work for you.
I know one thing my realtor was telling me is, like, don't fall in love with a house. Is that more so now because the asking prices are so inflated?
It's hard. There's a lot of emotions that go in with real estate. So I always want people to fall in love with it because I don't want you writing an offer on something that you're not in love with. But you have to get over it quicker than you want to at times.
That's good life advice in general. Don't make offers on things you don't know if you love.
Yeah. No, I think it's a big investment. So you don't really want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on something you hate.
Do you have a choice now? There's not very many houses on the market.
I looked it up this morning. There were 59 houses in the Greeley-Evans area that were active and didn't have contracts on them, which is awful.
How many houses are there in Greeley-Evans area?
Oh, gosh.
We'll be right back. We're going to go count.
Yeah, we're going to have to go count. We'll go count, and then we'll come back to you.
When I was buying my house this summer, I bought one in June. There was like 300 for sale in the market at one time.
Which was still like down.
Which was still
by,
very low.
I think what they want is, from what I know from GARA, the Greeley Area Realtors Association, they want 1,000 homes on the market at any given time. Like, that's what's healthy for Greeley?
About 1% of the population in town.
Yeah, so that's about 1,000 or 1,100, huh?
Yep.
Wow. And we're at 59 today.
Yep.
I don't know how many. When I looked back in April, because when did you?
We bought in July. We put our house on the market. We went through a whole thing, but we put our house on the market in like May, mid-May, and we closed July 7th.
So is the problem now, I mean, other than it's a seller's market.
It's been a seller's market for a long time.
Yeah, Colorado's something that's going to withstand probably several housing issues that might arise in the years. But like, you want to sell your home, but are you going to get the house that you want? I mean, it's going to be hard for them to buy.
Yep. You're seeing a lot. I have a lot of clients who are wanting to sell their house so that they have the money available. They don't have to do what Matt did, where you were contingent on the sale of your home, or, you know, you didn't need to get your house sold in order to buy the new house. It just made it a lot easier for some people to sell their house, maybe rent or live with family or whatever it may be, if you have that ability, and then go find the new house.
It would have been nice to do that. Yeah, it was tough because we found a house we loved, yeah. And then that was like, well, now we got to sell our house, mm-hmm. And then it became very stressful.
You love your house now?
Love my house now. Yep.
Which we'll be at next week for the big chamber dinner.
That's
Inspire,
it.
A virtual event, the annual dinner from the Chamber of Commerce, March 31st, 5:30 p.m. It is free to investors, or $20 if you're not an investor, to see what's been going on the past year, which it's only an hour-long program, so you know how much has been going on the last year. but of course, I'll recognize the new ambassador of the year and some additional awards from leaders in the community. So,
have they announced who the new ambassador of the year is, or any of the other award winners?
Well, if you know somebody.
Oh, I know who the ambassador of the year is.
Dang. I'm in the dark over here.
In the dark. I got to keep my mouth shut.
We can't just tell everybody right now.
I'll get in trouble.
Oh, come on.
Amy Dugan will come in here with her pocket knife and do things. Well, we were talking about that at lunch today.
Mm-hmm.
But Brad, what's something that's so rewarding for you as a real estate agent? What do you love most about your job?
There's a lot of things that I love. There's not really anything I don't like. The hardest part is telling people they didn't get the house. But one of the best – I was just having the conversation with somebody last week, and she's like, I don't know how you do your job. It's a lot of no's and a lot of just sad moments. But the best was when I was able to call that same person and say, you actually did go under contract. You are under contract. It's like the fun really begins at that point, getting to go take measurements of stuff, do the inspections, and – start planning on what you're going to do in that house.
Well, on the aggressive market that it is, I mean, it's probably a lot different now saying no more often than you did when you first started. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest, other than the ridiculous growth in northern Colorado since you started, what are some other major changes you've seen?
Man, there's a lot of changes, and I think it's been more electronic stuff, and that concerns me a little bit because you get people who like, well, just send me the contract. I'll sign it electronically. Well, what the heck are you signing? And I really get nervous for people who don't take that time to know exactly what they are signing. So I would caution everybody about that.
I was one of those. I was just the doing it all online. I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, I have 58 pages. Click, 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 click. And it just automatically signed. I mean, I read it, but not really.
But not really.
Well, and you trusted the person you were working with, right?
Yes.
And I think that's another big thing, is making sure you have that trust in that person that – they're not going to take advantage of you in that situation.
So shop local and not just be going after those in Denver, uh-huh. or Fort Collins, or, you know, somebody who's not in the community. Not that there aren't fine realtors in Denver or Fort Collins, but keeping that local to somebody who knows the city, the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, one thing I love about Brad is because I've become friends with him on Facebook. He's really become innovative at using social media as a realtor too. And he does a thing called Tour Tuesdays, which is my favorite, because even though I've bought a house and I love my house, I love looking at other people's houses. It's one of those weird things. But so I love Tour Tuesdays when he gets on and tours a house and you get to watch through it. And he's gotten quite good at the video and everything. But I would say from an outside perspective, one of the big changes I feel is you really embrace the social media side of the business too.
I'm trying really hard to do that. It's not the easiest thing for me. I think I spend more time thinking about how can I make my social media work better than I actually do implementing it. So yeah, the Tour Tuesday has been fun. We did that on your house.
Yeah,
your house
did.
Was for sale, and I won't take any credit for it, but I did think it was a really cool thing for your house to have. I've actually thought about changing it to Tour Thursday. The only reason for that, and it's super selfish, is like I'm not doing one today because there's nothing on the market. A lot of houses have gone under contract over the weekend, or they're just going under contract on Monday. So maybe as houses come on the market on Thursdays, I might be doing that. So,
but it doesn't flow as well as Tour Tuesday.
It doesn't.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's what's hard, is I really want to do them, but they're just
– Is there another word for tour well. That has a TH sound?
Hmm.
But no.
Not without a lisp.
Thiefing Thursday.
This house, now I can't even say that. Tongue-tied, tongue-twisted.
Yeah.
We had a fire truck going by. 2 minutes left in the segment. It says, Mike, can they pick that up when they're driving by? Oh, what an outrageous.
That's crazy. What is the most wild thing? Because you get to go in a lot of houses.
Oh, yeah.
What is the most wild thing you've ever seen in a house?
So if you would like to go on my Instagram page, I believe it's just brad.inhulsen, I-N-H-U-L-S-E-N. The very first picture I took and posted there, I walked in and it was a bachelor pad. And the client, his son was living there. I knocked on the door. I pounded on the door to finally go take a look at this house. And I literally put my elbows into my body. I didn't want to touch a thing. It was the most disgusting house I've ever been in. So I called the guy and I said, you know, it's going to need some work. It's going to need some fixing up. And he goes, okay, just shoot me straight. He used some other words. But he said, just shoot me straight. What do I need to do? And I said, well, before you get up here, call and get a roll-off dumpster, put it in the driveway, and make sure everybody's out of the house. I need you to take everything out of the house, including the carpet. I will not touch it until you have it out there. So there's this picture in the garage of these trash bags and boxes and pizza boxes stacked. It was a two-car garage full of trash. It was the most disgusting house
I've ever been. And that was before the dumpsters arrived?
That was before the dumpsters arrived.
Holy cow. Wow. They got a nice deal there, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was definitely good equity that someone worked on, but it definitely wasn't me.
Stay tuned for more Nick's Snacks. We'll be right back after this break. Here on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. Nick Snacks is proudly sponsored by 477 Distilling, located in downtown Greeley. Dangerously delicious cocktails. I had a good birthday there a couple days ago.
Yes, you did.
It was a very busy day.
When have you not had a good time there?
That's a great question.
That's probably a harder question to answer, because I know that there's a lot of great times there.
A lot of great times.
There is evidence of me dancing there. I don't know, Matt, you still have it on security?
I'm sure I still have the video.
Oh, boy, that's going to come back and haunt me sometime, if you call it dancing.
Yeah, Nick's dancing is it's kind of like shooter guns in the air, you know what I mean? A lot of this.
If you've seen Elaine Bennis dance on Seinfeld,
yeah. Okay.
It's not nearly as awkward, but pretty close.
But he's confident, so that makes it work, you know what I mean? It's not like he's awkwardly like, I don't know if I should be doing this. He's very confident in what he's doing.
Yeah. Yes, I am very confident in what I'm doing. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but you fake it until you make it.
You fake it till you make it. Yeah.
That was a good time. No, it's a great place. It's a block and a half from my office. Been going there ever since Papa Tom Shaw.
Conveniently located.
Yes.
That's
right. So are you the one that has kept the doors open down there? You're the one that's always over there?
Not always.
Oh, okay.
There's some other people.
He's a top customer for sure.
I was got 50 points saved up. That's five bottles worth.
We were looking at our stats recently, and I can't say any names, but we were looking at our stats and looking at all the people that have spent money there. We've had a customer, it's not Nick Kenny, that in the last year has spent $14,000.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Well, I guess you make a good product, so that's very helpful for sure.
And now, is this somebody who's gifting that to clients, or are these just cocktail sales?
I can't give any hints other than someone has spent at least $14,000 in the last year.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
Have you compared with some of the other establishments downtown, like Bricks and Weldworks, to see if they have those kind of numbers?
I don't want them to know.
<They're trying> to steal that person away from
I don't
you.
Want to know who it was. That's so
Well, kudos to that person.
I know.
Keeping the doors alive at 477 Distilling.
Mm-hmm. We're grateful for sure.
So we're drinking some Gentleman's Jack. Matt, guide us through what we're sipping on, what it pairs well with. I mean, chocolate chip cookies could be a good thing, huh?
Sure, for sure, yeah. Gentleman Jack's
how convenient.
It's a good easy sipper. Let's start with Jack Daniels to begin with. So Jack Daniels is kind of one of those people get confused about because on their bottles it says that they're Tennessee whiskey. So the history there is when Jack Daniels was starting – bourbon could only be made in Bourbon County, Kentucky, which that law changed in 1960, where bourbon could be made anywhere in the United States. So when that happened, Jack Daniels couldn't call it bourbon, even though the product that they are making would be a bourbon whiskey. They couldn't do that, so they coined Tennessee whiskey as their product. And so most people know Jack Daniels as a Tennessee whiskey, but really it is a bourbon whiskey. They use at least 51% corn, and then they use rye and barley as their other grains. The other thing that Jack Daniels does that is really quite different is their filtering process is way different. So they use what they call a charcoal filter process, which makes, in my mind, it makes some spirits a little bit smoother. It's a pretty intricate process, but it makes spirits, you know, pretty smooth. So with Gentleman Jack, what they've done is they've taken their standard Jack Daniels and they've doubled the filtering process. So they go through it two different times to try to make it even a little bit smoother. And it is a very smooth spirit. It's easy to drink. It's my go-to when I'm flying. I don't like to fly, so I like to drink while I fly, and Jack Daniels is a good airplane drinker, if you know what I mean.
Is it hard to hold the wheel when you're doing that?
Maybe.
So that's what the co-pilot's for.
That's what the co-pilot's
that's right,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But, so that's what Gentleman Jack is.
What is the oldest, or what was the first distillery in Bourbon County?
Well, there was a couple of really I don't think there's any that would say that this is the first one that ever came out, but Jim Beam is kind of the grandfather of bourbon. They were one of the original distilleries. That whole family, there was like an uncle and then the Beam dad and one other person, and all three had different distilleries. I think one was with Heaven Hill, one was with Jim Beam, one was somewhere else. And so there was a bunch that were coming up at the same time, but you know, probably you're looking at Jim Beam being your original distillery. And they existed pre-prohibition.
Mm-hmm. Does that date back to the, 19th century?
1800s? It was 1911 is when Prohibition started, so it would have been pretty early 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely I brought the Gentleman Jack in today because it's one of my favorites when we're at the Stampede, when you're in the Buckle Club or whatever it is where they have the food. They always have the Gentleman Jack there, and that is definitely my go-to when we're there at the Stampede. I love it around Stampede time.
That's a good summer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super good.
Good mixer for like a Kentucky lemon drop, because that's been on my mind lately as the weather is getting warmer a little bit. I don't know, bourbon. I'm trying to expand more for what to use bourbon for other than just neat or on a rock this summer. But why would I want to change that up?
Yeah, if it works.
It's tasty.
It's tasty. Yeah.
I have a problem at my house just because I have a very small bar cart in my kitchen and probably 15 or 20 bottles from, 477 than all the other whiskeys that I have below that. And then still some in my pantry. I need a bigger bar because I look like a lush with 15 bottles just getting knocked around by my little Roomba. I'm like, who's in the booze? Oh, it's the robot.
Did you name your Roomba?
Oh, that's R2.
R2. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Reliable. I mean, it's not really. It kind of gets itself stuck and tumbles down the stairs every now and again or eats a sock. Eh. It's fat. You guys have one of those?
I don't. I think we definitely need one, though.
It's life-changing.
Yeah, we have a Roomba. Yeah, it's great.
Although I have three floors, so I need to get one on each floor because I'm already sick of taking it up and down the stairs and then having to take it back down to recharge, which its recharging station is underneath my couch. So people hear this like, comes like, what's that? It's happening.
It's happening.
Get out right now.
I'm a big whiskey collector. I love collecting whiskey, and one of the beauties of my job is I'm in liquor stores all the time, so I get to see what cool stuff they have that they're selling, and so I'll buy a bottle and I'll put it under, I've got kind of a little bar section. I'll put it in the bar, and last week my wife was out one night, and so I thought I should probably inventory what I have and just see what I had, and I was assuming I had about 30 or 40 bottles, and you know how many I had?
78.
99.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Man.
How many of those?
So then you got another one to make it an even 100.
I've bought several since then, so I'm probably well above 100 right now for sure.
So when you get the behind the scenes, I'm sure with some of the liquor store owners, you get to the back room to see what stuff they have.
Oh yeah.
So what are you looking for when you're going to buy one of those behind the closed doors whiskeys?
So there's a thing in our industry called allocated products, and it means the company doesn't make enough for it to sit on a shelf on a regular basis. So they make enough that a liquor store could buy a case every 3 months or every 4 months or even less. And so there's a bunch of allocated products that there's a big list, and you know, whiskey fans know what those are. And so you're always looking for allocated stuff that you can't buy anywhere else. And you know, there's stuff that I like, but it's interesting. More and more products are becoming allocated on a regular basis, which is.
Is that because they're exploring with different flavors?
Just because the demand for whiskey is skyrocketing. More people are buying bourbon now than ever were before.
That was in one of those documentaries I think I talked about almost a year ago when Nick Snacks aired. Was just the trends of bourbon and whiskey, and since probably the early 2010s or 2000s, that has just blown up.
Blown up. It's huge. Yeah.
With the, I want to call it the living legend, but that's your drink of the old fashioned.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, if I'm ever going anywhere, that's the drink I'll get. You know, if they to taste their whiskey and their bourbon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how do you make your old fashioned?
Number two cocktail in America.
Do you What's number one?
Take a guess.
Vodka.
Vodka. No, come on.
Right, no, I would set
like
it with
Jack Daniel's or something.
It's
like a
margarita.
Oh.
Margarita's number one. Old fashioned's number two.
Really? Does that come from like California or who's the?
Have you ever seen the line at the Rio on Friday Fest?
That's true.
That's fair.
Everybody wants a margarita in the summertime.
See, but the problem is I like my margaritas frozen. So I'm kind of the girly drinker when it comes to that. I like my girly drinks.
We'll hear more from Brad and Matt after a brief break. Stay tuned to more Nick Snacks on 1310 KFKA. Nick Snacks, 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. I am your host, Nick Kenny, with Matt Estrin and Brad Inholson. We are in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, just having conversations and sipping on some whiskeys. So what a great way to spend an afternoon.
Can I do this every afternoon?
That's right.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. If this show takes off, which means we need more sponsors and more listeners, so share and spread this across the globe. There's got to be at least something you like on these segments or learning something new. I just learned that margaritas were the number one
cocktail
in America.
Yeah.
Now, has it been number one for a while? Has it ever been challenged?
I don't know if it's ever really been challenged. Not for as long as I've been paying attention, which is like in the last 2 weeks. I'm just kidding.
Do you guys have a little margarita mocktail or a
we're working on a marg for this summer. We've got an agave spirit that we're trying to get out this summer that would allow us to do a margarita.
How does Peter feel about that from the Rio?
He doesn't know.
We're keeping that under wraps.
Keeping that, yeah. All of you listening, don't tell Peter at the Rio.
We'll be downtown tomorrow. Hi, we're looking for Peter from the Rio. Peter from the Rio. We got some dirt. No, I love the partnership.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even the last – we were talking at lunch, Brad and I trying to celebrate the wins in Greeley that we've had from COVID. And, I mean, they're few and far between, but, Matt, of course, you're one of them. Starting with the cocktail classes you had and you know, the distribution you've grown, having a $14,000 customer, you know, they can't get things open. And, you know, with that comes the partnerships and those collaborations. It's awesome to be part of downtown Greeley and seeing those happen. You've got the food with the Rio when you're in the tasting room at the distillery. You've got Six Doors Down, which is run by Bob Hudson, which is a ghost kitchen, which I think is just fascinating and awesome. And I know where the kitchen is, so it's not a ghost kitchen. But
oh, it's not. I thought it was they had ghosts in the kitchen.
Oh, that's probably it, too.
Oh, okay.
That's why Bob is so skittish. What's that? What was that? Ghost.
Casper?
Yeah, Casper.
Casper.
Friendly ghost.
Yeah.
So that's even better.
Yep.
friendly with the, you know, margaritas and Long Island.
Ooh. Yeah, I just left right before this radio show. I was at a meeting of all the downtown businesses, and we're all – it's been incredible to work together the way we have, and even coming up with our summer plans now to hopefully bring Friday Fest back and all the fun things we do downtown. So it's – the partnership has been something like we've never experienced before, and even though the this pandemic has been – a horrible tragedy for our city, for the country, for a lot of people. I am grateful as how it's brought a lot of businesses together to work in incredible partnership.
I think it was heading in that direction too. And if anything, COVID kind of accelerated all the collaborations because it was kind of a fight or flight. Are you willing to work with others? Or are you going to try to stand it out on your own? And those who are working together are, I won't say thriving, but they're doing a whole lot better than other businesses who haven't been collaborating. And maybe they can't geographically with where they're located, but that's the – I mean, so much has gone into downtown Greeley over the past 10 years plus to make it what it is, and I'm glad it's still holding very strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready for warm weather and being outdoors and, you know, Friday Fest. I mean, usually at Friday Fest, I'm done from the week working downtown, and I'm like, all right, just get me home, but not after COVID.
Not after. It's going to be fun.
I think this year is going to be a lot of fun people and just enjoying being around people and doing things together again. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I'm going to look forward to this year.
Yeah, I read an article a couple weeks back that said that they are anticipating a true type of a roaring 20s mentality coming out of COVID with people being cooped up for over a year, that it's going to be like this mass entrance into the market again where all these people are going to restaurants and they're going to live venues and it's just going to be, like you said, I mean, people just craving the interaction with friends and being out in person. So it'll be interesting to see if it happens. But they said in the article they thought that by the end of 2021 it would be this like this mass hysteria in public spaces.
I'm sold. I'm down. And it's going to be fascinating to see the social awkwardness that everyone has. Not that we weren't socially awkward before COVID, but, you know, the hands. Are you shaking? Are you fist bumping? Are you elbowing? Are you
kissing?
Yes.
Just kidding.
Well,
maybe not.
Afterwards, who knows what's going to happen. It'll be like the end of, you know, World War II or something. Everyone's in the streets dancing and celebrating. Yeah. It's fascinating. And we were talking, you know, earlier about what's the mental health going to look like next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because I read an article just about that, how alarming that is. You've had, well, at this point, 500,000 families lose somebody in the past year, and you're not getting together. You're not having funerals. You're not mm-hmm. you're not going through that very important grieving process. And I don't think we can even begin to comprehend what that's going to do on everyone mentally over the next couple years and students and kids and missed graduations and proms and weddings and all this stuff that we took for granted.
Yep. Crazy.
On a more happy note, let's go back and talk some more bourbon because we got to bring us out of that little slumber.
There it is, the pop.
Ooh.
Best sound. Top five best sounds of all time.
All right, what are the next for you, Matt? You probably haven't listed them in a while.
Haven't listened. Baseball bat, when somebody hits a ball with a baseball bat?
Wood bat
in a ballpark?
Ball? Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a satisfying sound.
That just big crack and
yeah.
a pop.
Mm-hmm. Big crack. Man, this is tough.
Well, Brad, let's throw some in there. What's one of your favorite sounds?
What's that one song? Oh, gosh. I'm totally going to ruin this where it's all I want to do is bang, 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 and ching, the cash register sound. I love that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
What is it called?
Maybe if you sang it a few more times.
I'm not going to sing it anymore. I said I wasn't doing that part today.
Does anyone know what Brad is talking about?
I don't think I know what I'm talking about.
I'm sure Mike is going to find it here.
He's on it. Hey, one of my top sounds is I volunteer at the National Park Service, and it's an elk bugle. I think that is one of the coolest sounds. It's so unique. It's unlike anything you'd hear an 800-pound beast sound like.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments from one year was just elk bugling. It was right after the sunset, so it was just this glow in Moraine Park, and then you heard the coyotes in the distance howling from their den. I'm mm-hmm. like, this is awesome because there's no sound from cars and stuff driving. You're just fully immersed, and that's a pretty neat sound.
It's a good one.
Campfire.
The crackling.
Mm-hmm. When you don't hear anything else either. You're out in the woods and the campfire's crackling, and you've got a nice glow going. Stories are flowing. Good sounds.
Grizzly bear chasing people.
Yep.
We knew Micah's out in the
yep,
wild.
There he is.
Ocean. I love the ocean. Just that, that white noise. Mm-hmm. Matt, you'd know something about that.
Oh, yeah, big time. I'll be there. It's 2 months.
Was that hard to go from that kind of were you close enough to the beach to where you'd hear it regularly, or was it fine to move here?
Yeah, no. So I lived pretty far, not far inland, about 15 minutes inland when I was living in Southern California. My family has a house on the beach, and so if you're staying at the beach, you can hear it, you know, all night long. But no, it's all good. I don't know the difference living here, but
amusement parks. On every ride you walk by, it's the same screams. Mm. I mean, it's always the same timbre and the same sounds.
Yep.
No matter what roller coaster you're passing.
How about a train in the distance, though? So I live over by 35th Avenue, and I can still hear the trains in Greeley that far away. I love hearing it in the distance. Not right next to it, but the distant train.
There was a few summers ago where they had one of the big old steam mm-hmm. engines going by, and I was living off like 47th Avenue. This is, 4 or 5 miles from downtown Greeley?
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear that very distinct steam engine whistle. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
What about thunder, but in the mountains? So it echoes off all the other mountains. It's like that real deep thunder. That's always good.
That is.
I always enjoy that.
I'm waiting for Micah to throw out something else, like a grizzly bear chasing a human.
Loch Ness Monster chasing a human?
Yeah, we're not getting into this.
There's no sound. Where's the sound? There's no sound there.
Sounds like a velociraptor. Stay tuned as we're going to review some Woodford Reserve Double Oaked Barrel Finish Select deliciousness. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Stay tuned for more Nick Snacks on 1310 KFKA. Snacks on 1310 KFKA, proudly sponsored by 477 Distilling, and we have the privilege of having the owner himself in studio today. He's a recurring guest. Always like having Matt on because his wisdom of bourbons and whiskeys and alcohol.
I never thought that would be like what I was known for, you know, when I was in school. Like, hey, this guy is going to be the guy that we want to go to about all the alcohol. You know? I always thought I would amount to more, but I'll take it now. You know, now almost 40 years old, I feel like I have more wisdom than anybody else.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Have any of you gone to a high school reunion yet?
No, I intentionally did not go to it because I just have lost touch with all of those people. None of them really moved up here. And I never really spent much more time. I just fell – when I came to college to go to UNC, I fell in love with Greeley, and I've never looked back, period.
Where are you from?
Aurora.
Hmm.
A-Town.
A-Town.
A-Town. The original yeah. A-Town?
The original A-Town. That's what the song's about. Aurora.
That's interesting.
Can you sing that one for us, too?
No, I'm not doing that.
That's interesting that you fell out of touch and you're only, an hour away?
Yeah.
Did they all move or are they, you know, still
a lot of them are still down in the Denver area, but...
It's a different world. I mean, it really is. Northern Colorado has such a distinct vibe to it. Greeley has its own vibe. That's a buzzword now, you know, people vibe. Let's vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Loveland has a vibe. Windsor's trying to find their vibe. They're coming along. I like Windsor.
Yeah.
Fort Collins has its vibe. But they're all so close together.
Yeah.
You know what else has a vibe? Woodford Reserve Double Oaked Bourbon.
That was a great segue.
You like that segue?
Good. Very good.
This is delicious.
It's super good.
It feels like there's a little, like, cherry-ish.
So, Double Oaked. When bourbon's made, you put it into a barrel. It usually sits in the barrel for 3, 4, 5 years, however long it is. So what Woodford did, which they were the first distillery to do this, and a lot of people are doing it. We're actually working on a double oak project, is they take it out of the original barrel, which starts to lose some of its, you know, flavor and char and whatnot over the course of years, and they put it into another brand new fresh barrel for a couple more years. So it gets basically double the char and double the oak. And so if you look at the two bottles next to each other, this one's going to be significantly darker.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pick up a lot more of the oak flavor, you get a lot more of the kind of the char, the burnt part of the the barrel. So to me, this is a great one. It's a little bit expensive. It's usually going to be more than $50 on the shelf. But I think I love Woodford Reserve anyway. But this is definitely one I like to go towards because the flavor is so unique.
It is. I mean, it looks like dark rum,
mm-hmm.
like spiced rum. And it's still really smooth, too. It's got a little bit of bite to it. Is that the char? Or just...
It's just probably just the going from Gentleman Jack to Woodford's going to... You'll pick a little more bite.
If you had a... We're going to go just like the top five. So this is apparently the theme of today's show. The top five. Top five sounds. Top five... I don't know what else we had. Brad's songs that he's going to perform for us in this segment. Brad's top five. You know, do that like Casey Kasem on Sunday nights growing up. What are some the top five for any amateur whiskey enthusiast, or they're just trying to start out? What are five whiskeys and bourbons they should have in their bar cart or on their shelves?
Are we talking? We got to clarify this a little bit. Like easily available.
Yeah. Easily available. Yeah.
Okay.
That everybody can have, no matter who you are.
Somebody that likes bourbon already, or somebody that is getting into it. Because
somebody who's getting into it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a better one. I like that.
Somebody who's getting into it.
Yeah.
All right, so I would start with, to me, the most underrated bourbon on the planet, and it's really inexpensive, is a bourbon called Old Grandad. And there's a product called Old Grandad 114, which is their barrel-proof Old Grandad.
You brought it in once.
Yeah, it is like my favorite thing on the planet. I keep it stocked all the time. So either you can get Old Grandad barreled in, or bottled and bond, which is $20, or Old Grandad 114, which is $24. That's a great, great, great bourbon to have. For really inexpensive and a great starter bourbon. After that, I would go towards anything from the Buffalo Trace line. So Buffalo Trace is the one that everybody knows. But they also make a product called Eagle Rare, which is super good. That one's getting harder and harder to find, and it's becoming more and more allocated in stores. But those two are really, really wonderful, wonderful bourbons to get. And then I would round it out if you could find a wheat-based bourbon in there, because those are all rye bourbons, so you want to try to find some sort of a wheat-based bourbon, which is what 477 is. So, hey, if you find 477, you can add that to the bar, because that's good stuff there. But any sort of wheat-based bourbon, usually it'll say on there, wheated bourbon, and there's several that are easily available. Maker's Mark is kind of the most popular that's out there.
That's four.
Oh, man. All right, and then so by the time you get through all four of those, then you're into like the real man's bourbon. You know what I mean? And so then I would go with some sort of a really high barrel strength bourbon. If you can find Booker's bourbon, that's my all time favorite bourbon. It's usually going to be between 125 and 130 proof. Great history behind it. It's the very first ever high dollar bourbon to hit the market. It was created by the second head distiller of Jim Beam, a guy named Booker No, so it's named after him, and it is phenomenal. So essentially it's just Jim Beam, but it's uncut, unfiltered bourbon, so it sits at 100, again, between 125 and 130 proof, depending on the year that comes out, and it's really good. It comes in a box. You can use a box for cool things. It's like a two gifts in one.
Again, you can smoke cocktails in them, too.
You can smoke cocktails in the box. You can flip it upside down, and yeah, it's great.
That's high octane. I mean, you're 125.
You want an ice cube with it. Don't just drink it straight. Yeah, for sure. Throw an ice cube or two in there.
And don't mix it with anything else.
No, don't. If you put Coke in there.
Okay, here's a weird question. Since we're talking about this, do the stones, are they good like the
whiskey stones?
The whiskey stones?
Two of our questions have thrown Matt off.
Are they good, or do they make it worse or better, or do you need to just stick with straight ice?
It's all personal preference. So what the stones do, so ice, if you put it in there, it cools your drink down, but it also dilutes the drink, and it does it pretty quickly. So some people like their proof to come down a little bit. Your flavor gets a little bit more muted that way. So what the stones do is it allows you to cool off your drink without diluting it. So the flavor stays really pure, but it gets a little bit colder. Some people can stomach straight whiskey a little bit better if it's cold. So it's all personal preference. I have nothing against the whiskey stones. I think they're pretty cool invention. I think they look cool. I'm more of just a straight sipper, and then if it's something that's really high octane, I'll throw an ice cube in there, okay, too, with the purpose of diluting it.
Well, with the stones, shouldn't you just leave your whiskey in the fridge then at that point?
You could, yeah.
Which would be, I don't know. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
If you like it cold, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
The only thing I like cold is Fireball, though. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Put that in the freezer?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and cold.
That was when I'm playing hockey, I have a defensive player, and we take a shot of Fireball before every game, and most of the time we'd be a disaster on the ice. No, I'm just kidding. it was a nice bonding experience between me and Sheila. Like, all right, come on, keeper. Like, yep.
Seems like the shot. Least athletic thing of all time. We're just taking shots before we go out there on the ice. We're peak athletes.
Yeah. Well, you know, taking shots in the locker room, then going to take shots on the ice. It's I live a very shot full life.
I get it.
It's good.
That's super good.
Ding womp womp. All right, so let's talk about the experienced whiskey and bourbon drinkers. You know, say I'm having you over for dinner. What are five bourbons you'd want to see on my bar cart if I'm trying to pretend I know what I'm doing?
Now we're getting to the allocated stuff. So Booker's again. Booker's all around the board. I love Booker's. If you can get it, Weller, and there's three different types. Well, there's a bunch of different Wellers, but there are three that are most readily available. So you have your Weller Antique, which is a green label, Rella 107, which is a 107 proof Weller, and then you have your Weller 12 year, which is the black label. So any of those three would be awesome on the Weller side. Blanton's is great. Blanton's is another weeded bourbon that's really quite good, and the caps on Blanton's are collector's items. It's the horse racing. So if you collect all of them, it spells Blanton's, and it's the progression of the horse racing in a race, which is kind of cool.
They must be in Kentucky.
What's that?
They must be out of Kentucky.
They're out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all these I'm saying are out of Kentucky. 477, again.
Obviously.
And then
you can't have him over for dinner and not have 477 on your cart.
That's right.
Well, you haven't seen there's about 20 things in my cart.
I'm just saying, if anybody's having Matt over for dinner, you better have 477 and probably a couple different bottles of 477, right?
Yep.
One of everything, probably?
Yeah, or two of everything.
Or two.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can just drop $14,000 in there.
And you will be famous on this show. We won't know who you are, but we'll be talking about you, that's for sure.
And then, I mean, I would round it out with, what would be the last one that I think would be really impressive? I mean, if you had like a bottle of Pappy or something, people get excited about that.
I've got a Whistlepig in my office.
Whistlepig's great. That's a good point. Probably a high rye, something that's like a really heavy high rye, like a Whistlepig is pretty heavy rye. Or there's another one called Peerless. The Peerless rye is wonderful, about $100 a bottle.
I was I can't remember where it was, in Windsor. They're piggybacked with High Hops.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a white
Heart
whiskey.
It's called the Heart?
Yeah, the Heart.
Yep.
It was a white whiskey.
Whiskey. Mm-hmm.
So they just filter all the impurities out? Or
they just haven't aged it. It hasn't gone in a barrel yet.
Oh, that's weird. Oh.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you age it?
Because then it's a white whiskey.
Oh, yeah, it's
what did it taste like?
Tastes like white whiskey.
It was like a White Walker from, Game of Thrones. Different, but pretty cool.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, this has been another great episode of Nick Snacks with Matt Estrin, owner of 477 Distilling and the Hatchet House in downtown Greeley, and Brandon Holson, a 30 under 30 regional, national realtor here in Greeley, Colorado. It's been a pleasure having you gentlemen on. Stay tuned for more Nick Snacks next week, and this is our cutoff.